Chapter 23. Thomas wondered long and hard about Albie. It seemed such a victory just to save his life, bring him back from a night in the maze. But had it been worth it? Now the boy was in intense pain, going through the same things as Ben. And what if he became as psychotic as Ben? Troubling thoughts all around. Twilight fell upon the glade, and Albie's screams continued to haunt the air. It was impossible to escape the terrible sound, even after Thomas finally talked the medjacks into letting him go, weary, sore, bandaged, but tired of the piercing, agonized wails of their leader. Newt had adamantly refused when Thomas asked to see the person he'd risked his life for. "It'll only make it worse," he'd said, and would not be swayed. Thomas was too tired to put up a fight. He'd had no idea it was possible to feel so exhausted, despite the few hours of sleep he'd gotten. He'd hurt too much to do anything after that, and had spent most of the day on a bench on the outskirts of the Deadheads, wallowing in despair. The elation of his escape had faded rapidly, leaving him with pain and thoughts of his new life in the glade. Every muscle ached. Cuts and bruises covered him from head to toe. But even that wasn't as bad as the heavy emotional weight of what he'd been through the previous night. It seemed as if all the realities of living there had finally settled in his mind, like hearing a final diagnosis of terminal cancer. How could anyone ever be happy in a life like this, he thought. Then, how could anyone be evil enough to do this to us? He understood more than ever the passion the gladers felt for finding their way out of the maze. It wasn't just a matter of escape. For the first time, he felt a hunger to get revenge on the people responsible for sending him there. But those thoughts just led back to the hopelessness that had filled him so many times already. If Newt and the others hadn't been able to solve the maze after 2 years of searching, it seemed impossible there could actually be a solution. The fact that the gladers hadn't given up said more about these people than anything else. And now he was one of them. "This is my life," he thought. "Living in a giant maze surrounded by hideous beasts." Sadness filled him like a heavy poison. Albie's screams, now distant but still audible, only made it worse. He had to squeeze his hands to his ears every time he heard them. Eventually, the day dragged to a close, and the setting of the sun brought the now familiar grinding of the four doors closing for the night. Thomas had no memory of his life before the box, but he was positive he'd finished the worst 24 hours of his existence. Just after dark, Chuck brought him some dinner and a big glass of cold water. "Thanks," Thomas said, feeling a burst of warmth for the kid. He scooped the beef and noodles off the plate as fast as his aching arms could move. "I so needed this," he mumbled through a huge bite. He took a big swig of his drink, then went back to attacking the food. He hadn't realized how hungry he was until he'd started eating.
"You're disgusting when you eat," Chuck said, sitting on the bench next to him. "It's like watching a starving pig eat his own clunk."
"That's funny," Thomas said, sarcasm lacing his voice. "You should go entertain the grievers, see if they laugh."
A quick expression of hurt flashed across Chuck's face, making Thomas feel bad, but vanished almost as fast as it had appeared.
"That reminds me, you're the talk of the town."
Thomas sat up straighter, not sure how he felt about the news.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"Oh, gee, let me think. First, you go out in the maze when you're not supposed to, at night. Then, you turn into some kind of freaky jungle dude, climbing vines and tying people up on walls. Next, you become one of the first people ever to survive an entire night outside the glade. And to top it all off, you kill 4 grievers. Can't imagine what those shanks are talking about."
A surge of pride filled Thomas's body, then fizzled. Thomas was sickened by the happiness he'd just felt. Albie was still in bed, screaming his head off in pain, probably wishing he were dead. "Tricking them to go over the cliff was Minho's idea, not mine."
"Not according to him. He saw you do the wait and dive thingy, then had the idea to do the same thing at the cliff."
"The wait and dive thingy?"
Thomas asked, rolling his eyes.
Any idiot on the planet would have done that. Don't get all humbly-bumbly on us. What you did is freaking unbelievable. You and Min-ho both.
Thomas tossed the empty plate on the ground, suddenly angry.
Then why do I feel so crappy, Chuck? Want to answer me that?
Thomas searched Chuck's face for an answer, but by the looks of it, he didn't have one. The boy just sat clasping his hands as he leaned forward on his knees, head hanging. Finally, under his breath, he murmured,
"Same reason we all feel crappy."
They sat in silence until a few minutes later, Newt walked up, looking like death on 2 feet. He sat on the ground in front of them, as sad and worried as any person could possibly appear. Still, Thomas was glad to have him around.
"I think the worst part's over," Newt said. "The bugger should be sleeping for a couple of days, then wake up okay. Maybe a little screaming now and then."
Thomas couldn't imagine how bad the whole ordeal must be, but the whole process of the changing was still a mystery to him. He turned to the older boy, trying his best to be casual.
"Newt, what's he going through up there? Seriously, I don't get what this changing thing is."
Newt's response startled Thomas.
"You think we do?"
he spat, throwing his arms up, then slapping them back down on his knees.
"All we bloody know is if the grievers sting you with their nasty needles, you inject the grief serum or you die. If you do get the serum, then your body wigs out and shakes, and your skin bubbles and turns a freaky green color, and you vomit all over yourself. Enough explanation for you there, Tommy?"
Thomas frowned. He didn't want to make Newt any more upset than he already was, but he needed answers.
"Hey, I know it sucks to see your friend go through that, but I just want to know what's really happening up there. Why do you call it the changing?"
Newt relaxed, seemed to shrink even, and sighed.
"It brings back memories. Just little snippets, but definite memories of before we came to this horrible place. Anyone who goes through it acts like a bloody psycho when it's over, although usually not as bad as poor Ben. Anyway, it's like being given your old life back, only to have it snatched away again."
Thomas's mind was churning.
"Are you sure?"
he asked.
Newt looked confused.
"What do you mean? Sure about what?"
"Are they changed because they want to go back to their old life? Or is it because they're so depressed at realizing their old life was no better than what we have now?" Newt stared at him for a second, then looked away, seemingly deep in thought.
"Shanks who've been through it'll never really talk about it. They get different, unlikable. There's a handful around the glade, but I can't stand to be around them."
His voice was distant, his eyes having strayed to a certain blank spot in the woods. Thomas knew he was thinking about how Albie might never be the same again.
"Tell me about it," Chuck chimed in. "Gally's the worst of them all."
"Anything new on the girl?" Thomas asked, changing the subject. He was in no mood to talk about Gally. Plus, his thoughts kept going back to her.
"I saw the medjacks feeding her upstairs."
"No," Newt answered. "Still in the bug and coma, or whatever it is. Every once in a while she'll mumble something, nonsense, like she's dreaming. She takes the food, seems to be doing all right. It's kind of weird."
A long pause followed, as if the three of them were trying to come up with an explanation for the girl. Thomas wondered again about his inexplicable feeling of connection with her, though it had faded a little. But that could have been because of everything else occupying his thoughts. Newt finally broke the silence.
"Anyway, next up, figure out what we do with Tommy here."
Thomas perked up at that, confused by the statement.
"Do with me? What are you talking about?"
Newt stood, stretched his arms.
"Turn this whole place upside down, you bloody shank. Half the gladers think you're God. The other half want to throw your butt down the box hole. Lot of stuff to talk about."
"Like what?"
Thomas didn't know which was more unsettling, that people thought he was some kind of hero, or that some wished he didn't exist.
"Patience," Newt said. "You'll find out after the wake-up."
"Tomorrow? Why?"
Thomas didn't like the sound of this.
"I've called a gathering, and you'll be there. You're the only buggin' thing on the agenda."
And with that, he turned and walked away, leaving Thomas to wonder why in the world a gathering was needed just to talk about him.